Let's turn in the back of our Psalter hymnal to page 55, Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 43, question and answer 112. We continue our series through the Ten Commandments. We come to the Ninth Commandment. Page 55. We read this question: what is God's will for us in the Ninth Commandment? God's will is that I never give false testimony against anyone. Twist no one's words, not gossip or slander, nor join in condemning anyone without a hearing or without a just cause. Rather, in court and everywhere else, I should avoid lying and deceit of every kind. These are devices the devil himself uses, and they would call down on me God's intense anger. I should love the truth, speak it candidly, and openly acknowledge it. And I should do what I can to guard and advance my neighbor's good name. Now let us take our Bibles and turn in them to Proverbs 12, verse 22. It's on page 681 in the Pew Bibles. Proverbs 12, verse 22. Hear now the word of God. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who act faithfully are his delight. And let us turn to Matthew 7. Verses 1 and 2, that's found on page 1032, Matthew 7. Matthew 7, verse 1 and following. Judge not, that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Let us turn to Ephesians 4, verse 29 and following. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. As far the reading of God's holy word. A congregation in a society, a time of fake news, hoaxes, of conspiracies that seem to lurk here and there that many people latch onto. This commandment, the ninth commandment, comes as a breath of fresh air. Truth. Honor truth. Truth, trust. These are at the foundation of relationships, even the foundation of living. Think if God did not care about the truth. Could we go on with science, with experimenting, if there was no solid truth to discover and apply? Children, you would not need to go to school at all. There'd be no truth to go after. Would God have instituted marriage if he did not care about truth in the words we speak and the commitments we make with one another? Could we even relate with God? He did not value truth. We could not survive if God did not love the truth. This is who he is, and it shows up in how he made the world. And so God commands us to honor truth. As I proclaim to you this evening, with the ninth commandment, God requires speaking truly, judging justly, and loving always. All these in relation to our speech. First, we consider speaking truly. We read from Proverbs 12, verse 22, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who act faithfully are His delight. Lying lips. Men who act faithfully, truthfully, these matter to God. Now, in our world, people are often concerned with what seem like big things, getting results, being able to show that someone is effective, capable of doing something. And along the way, if they have to be less than truthful, our society does not frown upon that. In fact, it expects it at times. There seems to be this idea that in order to accomplish a good thing, something beneficial for everyone, it's all right to follow a path that might not be truthful, because if people knew the truth, they wouldn't go along with it. It's thought that sometimes, because those who hold power and influence and money do not want to give up their position, their privilege, in order to do something for the common good, you've got to tweak the truth. You've got to spin the truth. You have to hide the truth. Maybe outright lie to get the influential on board. The ends justify the means. The world thinks that truths sometimes have to be concealed so that life can proceed as though certain things were true. It seems as though the elite in our society often think, well, the common people, they have to believe certain things so they'll act rightly, so society will keep functioning, but you rise above the common person. You no longer need to hold to such things. You don't need that story, those guidelines, those rules for kids and for other people, common people. There is no truth. Simply tools to achieve power. Hold on to it. We see that. We see it in the world around us. But we also see it in homes, as the world says this is how homes work. Say a wife, a mother, has an idea of what would be good for the family to do. Maybe her husband's not in agreement. The children aren't for it either. But she's confident. She knows that everyone will agree once we get there, once it's done. How to get them there? They're not being reasonable. They're not being open to change. They're not really listening to her. They don't understand the temptation there, and the world says, lie. Present the situation. So sure, get their buy-in. Get them to go along. Once everything's said and done, they'll be glad you did it. They'll ignore that you tweaked the truth. We see it in politics. Politicians hide the truth of their intentions on the campaign trail when they argue for the passage of a bill. Pass it, let's see what's in there. Let's just do this. Then after the election, after the bill becomes a law, well, the reality comes out different than what was presented. Outright lies, we've seen it. Truth is sacrificed to achieve the higher good. It's thought. Our world thinks truth is expendable. Something to be sidestepped in order to do something better. That is not the way God views things. Truth itself is something good. Truth is not simply a stepping stone to something better. Truth is good. And if we think we have to lie in order to achieve a greater good, we're not listening to the Lord's teaching. As we read, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. It's right there in God's word. Someone may ask, well, are all lies wrong? Is it wrong to lie to a Gestapo agent if your family's hiding Jews? Should we freely admit to the Gestapo agent, the Jews in the house? Should we keep quiet? Is not truth a servant of the good of others? Again, that greater good. Or does this teaching mean we should be unlike Rahab or the midwives with their lie to Pharaoh? How about those who allow lying in some cases? There's concern with a slippery slope. Why not another case? Where's the line we should draw? Well, these times of war, those times of extreme situations, that is something that we discuss and talk about and wonder biblically, how do we do that? Now, first, though, hiding Jews is not a situation you and I encounter. Hopefully never. Certainly not every day. Those are dire circumstances, times of great war and distress. We must not use that for an excuse. The second, with this we can make comparisons with other laws. For instance, murder is wrong. But it's not wrong to kill someone who's seeking to kill your life. In dire circumstance, someone seeking to kill you unlawfully, it's acceptable to kill them. It's not murder. That's not necessarily a slippery slope, though. Perhaps it could be. We deal with those situations. And we need to talk about where the line is and why. But that's not where we live day to day. We live in a fallen world. That's true. God will not let us be tempted beyond what we can bear. And he says very clearly, lying lips are an abomination. Those are often thought experiments, things to debate. Where you and I live, it is not the lesser of two evils. Lying is evil. It is wrong for a politician to lie in order to reach what he thinks is better for the citizens. It is wrong for a mother to lie in order to get her husband to do what she thinks would be a good thing that he's unwilling, unconvinced. Lying is wrong. Lying is sin. God's word is clear. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. This ninth commandment. Congregation, by God's grace, repent of the lies you have told. Lies that perhaps now you are caught up in the middle of and living. Children, be careful how you speak. Tell the truth. Even if it means you don't get what you want. Even if it means things don't go your way. Even if telling the truth results in your parents disciplining you. Things will not get better, not truly, if you lie to cover up. Don't make matters worse by telling a lie. Tell the truth. So too with all of us. It's better for the truth to be revealed than for us to lie. Even if we don't get our way. Even if we appear in a bad light. Well, the devil, your own flesh, they tempt you to lie during those times. Try to reason that sin away. You're doing something good with your lies. You're preventing some harm. Don't be deceived. The ninth commandment, God requires speaking truly. He also requires in this commandment, as we move to in our second point, judging justly. We are to judge justly. And for this, we go to our reading from Matthew. Matthew 7, where Jesus says, "Judge not that ye be not judged." Now, we hear that, don't we? Often in our time, even from those who might have no idea Jesus said it, or who Jesus was, people who don't claim to follow Jesus. Ours is a time when cordial discourse is often thought to mean you don't openly disagree with someone. Well, unless they're a Nazi or a racist or a bigot, then you could call them out on that, but otherwise you don't. Disagreeing is often uncomfortable. We as a society don't know how to disagree civilly, rightly, profitably. We immediately, often as a society, get upset with others and come near to considering them the worst of enemies if they disagree with us, even about minor things. And when we look closer, we see something more to this in our culture. That it often permits strong disagreement against tradition or against what's thought to be the Christian position. Disagreement with the truth while it shuns those who would defend them. Judge not. Disagreements allowed often to go only one way, against what's thought to be the established, the privileged position. Since our country was based and founded on Christian principles, since much of the people in our country have historically claimed to be Christian, even more narrowly Protestants, the culture nowadays supports disagreeing with what's thought to be the traditional Protestant position, demanding that those who defend that position, that they don't be disagreeable, but others can. And we've seen this in many of us, in our own church environment. Now, what a blessing that we collected this evening for our federation. What a blessing to be in a federation at peace, united in truth, united in God's word. Or haven't we heard before Others say, no, don't speak that truth. They're allowed to speak. They're allowed to disagree. They're allowed to judge, to argue. But those who defend the truth, no. You're being schismatic if you speak up. Don't judge, phrase is often used. But think also to our homes. Is there not the temptation, young people, sometimes, if one of your parents calls you on the carpet, disagrees with maybe how you're dressed or music or about friends or a movie or a television show, isn't there the temptation to react and say, don't judge? Who are you to judge? Now, often when that's said, we're not really meaning there shouldn't be judging, but we don't want them to disagree with us, to rebuke us. We very much would like someone to judge and affirm and permit. We want to be accepted and affirmed, at least at one level. At one level, we want others all to say, you're doing a good job, what you're doing is okay, it's not wrong, even though your conscience is pricking you. Or to say, well, allowances can be made. We want others to judge us, but judge us to be good. The issue is not so much judging, but not wanting to be condemned. But we are to judge. We cannot help but judge. Either to judge something to be right or judge it to be wrong, at least in our own mind. Judging can have either effect of condemning or of approving. Notice what Jesus said after that, and what we read, the very next verse. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. You see, Jesus is not telling us to refuse to condemn or refuse to approve. He's telling us, be careful in how you judge. Be careful in condemning, even in approving. When you're in the role of judging and you're actually passing judgment, do so in a way that's according to truth, in a way that you would want to be judged. And that's simply part of what the ninth commandment requires. As the Catechism wonderfully summarizes, that I do not join in condemning anyone without a hearing or without a just cause. And yet, don't we judge often how we would not want to be judged? And that pertains often with our words. Our words when we render a verdict, whether formally or just in conversation with others. God requires in this ninth commandment to not join in condemning anyone without a hearing or without a just cause. It's not just talking about a court case. It says any. We are not to jump to conclusions. God wants us to hear a matter, to investigate a matter before rendering a judgment, a verdict. Now, sometimes the hearing can be rather quick. Other times more involved. If you know someone who claims to follow the Buddhist religion, well, you don't have to inquire into specifics of what they personally believe to judge if they're correct in religion. No, they've embraced a false religion. That's clear. You have enough information right there. But in other cases, we need to go deeper. Now, young people, this applies in whom you're deciding to date to court. If your person you're considering does not claim to be a Christian, it's clear you must not date them. Don't try to dig further into their personal beliefs. It's clear. Or if they don't go to a faithful church, or they go to a false church, or do this home churching thing, you don't need to inquire more about what they personally believe before making the decision. No, it's obvious. You've given a fair hearing. Now, you might not like it, but it's clear. That doesn't mean you refuse to talk to them or work with them. We're just talking about the dating or courting aspect. You have enough obvious information to render a sound judgment. Don't date them. Your parents know enough to counsel you as well. Do not court them. Do not date them. Sometimes perhaps we do have to dig deeper, more into a situation, more into a debate, to find out what side we ought to side with, or what parts of each side we ought to side with. It's often not clear. One is always right, one's always wrong. Proverbs 18, verse 17 says, the one who states his case first seems right, until the other comes and examines him. Not all matters are neat and tidy. But often, aren't we tempted to listen only to familiar sources? friendly sources, ones that have affirmed us in the past, instead of listening to the other side. It's very easy to dismiss someone's position based upon the past or someone's political affiliation. Even worse than dismissing their position is dismissing their person. And then as we speak about the issue or about the person with others, then we've condemned them without a hearing, without a just cause. Is that what we would want others to do for us? Would we want others to make a snap judgment against us? Do you want someone to come up and start arguing with you based on something they saw without inquiring more about what the situation truly was? Do you want someone to talk about you without getting the facts? Without getting your side of the story? Of course not. How often we are tempted to do that, and we do, don't we? To judge others quickly, to judge based on first impression, in the heat of the moment, to judge based upon our prejudices, or to just go along with the opinions around us. When we do that, we are breaking this ninth commandment. Or condemning someone without a hearing, without a just cause. But with the ninth commandment, God requires judging justly. Our society doesn't want to do that. It rushes to snap decisions. We've seen that, haven't we? In the recent past, snap decisions, and the truth comes out. Oh, there's another 5 minutes to this video. Oh, there's another perspective on it. Don't judge without a hearing. But God also wants us to do something else with this ninth commandment. And that is to love always. And we move to that in our third point, loving always. Now, it might seem that while we can understand God's forbidding murder, God forbidding adultery, God forbidding stealing, those obviously hurt other people. Speech, though, isn't that majoring on minors? Why is speech so important? Well, we didn't read it this evening, but Proverbs 18, verse 21 tells us, death and life are in the power of the tongue. What we say is very important. The power of speech, it's seen so clearly throughout the Bible, the gospel accounts. Often Jesus would speak, and a paralyzed man will be healed. Jesus spoke, and a furious storm immediately calmed. Creation, God spoke, and the world came to be. He spoke again, and grasses, and trees, and animals, and birds, fish were formed. God's speech is powerful. And he made us in his image. Not that our speech is powerful, no. We're not God. We don't have a little God in us with that speech power, though some people would say that. But our speech is important to ourselves and to our fellow man. Our speech is so important that God in Ephesians 4:29 tells us, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. There's a lot there. God not only requires that we speak the truth, but that we speak it in love. That is, we are not only to keep unwholesome talk from coming out of our mouth, we are to have only, the apostle wrote, only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace. You may speak only those things. Only that which builds others up. Brothers and sisters, it would do us all well to memorize these verses. For if you listen to yourself, I listen to myself throughout the day, throughout the week. Do we speak this? Pause. Listen to yourself. Will you hear from your own lips what the Apostle Paul instructs us to speak with our lips? Keep these verses in your mind and your heart so that when you are tempted to speak hastily, to speak in any way other than this, you can recall them. And as Paul said, be kind to one another, tender-hearted. Children, it doesn't say except for your brother. It doesn't say except for your sister. Husbands, it doesn't say except for your wife. Wives, it doesn't say except for your husband or your children. Employers, it doesn't say, well, except for your employee or that one who's just messing up. It doesn't say except for your enemy. No exceptions. None at all. Now, this doesn't mean that we never disagree with someone. If someone is in error, God's placed you in position to point out that error, proper time and place, you must. That's actually helping. He uses that to build us up. It's not only what you say, it's why you say it. It's how you say it. Are you speaking just to make a joke? Just to get some laughs? That's not here. There's no exception for joking here. Do you say it's just a vent to let off steam? That's not right. We speak hastily. We speak in anger to express our own frustration and disappointment or grief to relieve ourselves. Then we aren't concerned with building others up. We're focused on self. We're not concerned with others' need. We're not concerned with giving grace. We're concerned with our own desires. But the apostle says we are to say only that which builds others up according to their needs, not mine. Focus isn't to be on us. Any other speaking is sin. By God's grace, you must repent of your sin. Again, notice the Apostle Paul does not base your speech upon how others speak to you. Children, your brother, he yells at you, he does something. He doesn't say, well, then you may yell back. No, it's not there. You to speak good, not just about those who speak good of you and speak ill of those who speak ill of you. There's no qualification. Again, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Now, the Apostle Paul, he points us to the foundation of our speech, what it is to be, and that is what God in Christ has done. He wrote in verse 32, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Think back to the speech of our Lord. Think back to the actions of Jesus. Did anything he do, did he do it to please himself? Anything. All that he did was focused on glorifying his Father and building others up. Even when he rebuked the Pharisees and other Jewish religious leaders, not once did he lash out in frustration or unrighteous anger. Not once did he speak to vent his own feelings. He spoke truly. But he never spoke the bare truth so that we'd be pushed down. He judged justly, not based upon anything other than the truth in the heart of man. Not snap impressions. He never spoke to elevate himself, puff himself up at others' expense, even though he is God himself. Instead, what did Jesus do? He humbled himself. He emptied himself. His speech and his actions were all designed to point us to God, even more to bring us to God, to truly impart grace to those who hear. And he put his words into action, for he offered himself in our place, took upon himself all our sins, even, believer, your sins of speech, my sins of speech. As he suffered God's wrath against those sins, when he suffered and died on the cross, he did that to reconcile us to God, to put our sinful speech to death. And he rose from the dead to bring gracious speech to us. Don't forget the gospel. You don't have to speak those wrong words. If you are in Christ, his Spirit lives in you. And you can ask him for the grace, forgive you, empower you. Believe Jesus, trust him, pray to him. There's grace. And even today, what does Jesus do? He has his servants and his preachers proclaim with words the gospel, so that you and I and all his elect are saved and built up in the faith. That's Christ's care for you, for his people. In view of what Christ has done, what God has done in Christ, by his grace, turn from your own sinful speech, sinful actions. Repent of them. Strive to have no corrupting talk come out of your mouths. Go forth and do that. Speak the truth to others. Not lies, not half-truths, not deceptions. Judge justly when you're faced with a judgment to make, getting the facts, getting the other side, and in all things at all times, love others, even those who speak badly of you. We can't do this in our own power, our own strength. It's only in the Spirit's power. So therefore, by God's grace, keep the gospel in your mind. Keep it in your heart. God's forgiveness, God's compassion, his forgiving of you as God in Christ did. And then when others, they'll notice, they will notice in this world, and find it remarkable how you speak or what you don't speak. God's just given you an opportunity to speak something there. And that's speak the gospel, to evangelize. Don't point to yourself. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them the truth of the gospel, of that old, old story of Jesus and his love. Tell them how God has spoken wonderful words to you, even grace in the giving of his Son. Tell them Jesus suffered and died and rose again so that you wouldn't be bitter or wrathful, slander. That you would be kind and speak building up things. Don't just say, like these billboards, well, it's in you, just do it. If we'd all do it, it'd be a better place. Don't say that. Point to Jesus, because he has changed your heart and your speech. And then pray for them. Pray that God would open up their hearts and see God's grace in Christ. See how God uses us. We've seen that through these Ten Commandments. He uses you to point to Jesus and his grace. And so by God's grace, speak truly, judge justly, and love always. And may God receive all the praise. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, your word is clear. We confess, though, that we sin. Please, by the power of Christ, by his blood shed for us, forgive us. And by the Spirit of Christ, renew us. Purify our lips. Purify our hearts. That we would speak what is true. That we would speak justly. That we would love always. Use us, Lord, to draw attention to you and your truth. The truth of Jesus. Your goodness, your grace. For we live a very dark and perverse and false and lying time. But may we stand out as lights shining in the darkness, pointing to you. In Jesus' name, amen.